This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Rivers give life-sustaining services to people, and it's this very reason that many of the world's great cities sit on the bank of a great river. Our own Klang River, which was once an essential highway for transportation, commerce, and a source of energy, is being abused and is viewed by many as nothing more than a large, muddy drain these days. The River of Life program aims to change that, and I find out how from Dr. K. Kalithasan, the coordinator of the River Care program at the Global Environment Center, who has long been a part of the challenge to keep our local rivers clean. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kali.
Yes, thank you.
As I mentioned, you've long been advocating for cleaner rivers in Malaysia. You joined us on the show many years ago to discuss the One State, One River program. Could you remind us what that was about? Is it still running?
One State, One River is a program by DID, Malaysia, Drainage and Irrigation Department, Malaysia, to showcase how a river management can be adopted at all level, involve even public there. So currently, it's still ongoing, but from 2016, it's been rebranded under the Living River concept.
And how has how would you say the project has been? Has it been successful? Would you say that it's gone as you would want it to?
Yes, yes, yes. If you see that the whole hidden agenda of this One State, One River is to come up with a model how a river should be managed by participating of all stakeholders from the government, private sectors, as well as the community. So now we can see in most of the model that it's been adopted by various parties then.
We're talking today particularly about the Klang River, and I think a lot of us don't even think of the Klang River as a river anymore. You know, you don't even really look at it, even though many of us would pass it in and out of town. And back in the day, it was an essential part of tin mining transportation. It also served other functions. Could you elaborate?
Yeah. I mean, if you see the civilization, the history of the KL then, it became a focal point for settlement. Okay, it also vital for the water supply, potable water, as well as the food through fish and other things, you know, and also a part of the transportation.
Okay. And when did it go from being all those important things to becoming, you know, this muddy mess that it is today?
I think it is maybe back in in 1950s, 40s, 50s, 60s, though, where urbanization took place rapidly in KL, where there's a lot of land clearing for residential, for buildings, you know, factories and so on. That is the starting point when we went into the economic aspect rather than looking to the environment to balance it.
At what point, so that was when it started to go downhill, I guess. At what point did people start to recognize, hey, this is an important river and, you know, we need to be thinking about its cleanliness and not just its, you know, just dumping stuff in it?
I think for the past, the whole thing started maybe last 10 years. Now, people realize now, after we have developed our city now, people realize that, you know, there's no recreational. There's no what they call spiritual spirit in the KL city, everything there. So people started to go back to nature. Okay, so that's where when Pumandu started this what they call lab workshop, all these things. So one of the workshop that people throw there, why not we look into the river, become an icon back to the KL city.
Your colleague at JEC, Jagadiswari Mariappan, was quoted in an article saying that they changed our river to look like a drain so people stopped thinking of it as a river. Who was she referring to when she said they, and why do you think this happened?
I think when she quoted that, she was referring to the agency that involved on the river management there, you know. So if you see the pattern of the river management, it's dominated by hydrology and flood management. And for the flood management, most of the easiest way to manage the river is by concrete channelizing the river. So at that point, that is the best method available. We duplicate from overseas there. No? But down the road now, for the last 5 to 10 years, even Japan, a country like Japan, Korea, even London, all this thing, they realize that, you know, concrete channelizing is a misconcept. So now they're already going back to the nature, you see, back to original.
Unfortunately, a lot of us have become used to this look, right? This feel of what rivers are. Do you think Malaysians have actually become accustomed to dirty rivers? You know, in my life, I've only ever known the Klang River as, you know, this coffee-coloured waterway. And Have people just become accustomed to that?
I mean, this is what the main problem that you are facing, the mindset of the people. No? So currently, as you rightly pointed out earlier, that people don't see river as a river, but rather than it's a monsoon rain. No? And when they registered in their mind as a monsoon rain, the purpose is to wash out or take away your pollution. No? So it's right for people to dispose whatever their unwanted thing into the waterway. So that's the biggest mistake there. So when they perceive the Klang River as a disposal channel and nothing goes wrong by not putting the clean river into that. You see?
How do you, through your work, attempt to change that mindset and make people realize that it's not normal and that a river is not a drain?
I think that's what we are trying to do for the last 10 to 15 years now. Try to change the mindset of the public in Malaysia. One of the easiest way or core value that we are trying to instill within the Malaysian public is our history, you know, that civilization start from the river. How was the Klang River? Okay, that's number one. Number two, the connectivity. Those days, when I'm small, I am connected to the river. I know my parents told me that we have to look after the river because our drinking water coming from the river, fish coming from there, all the basic material coming from there. But unfortunately, the new generation, if you ask them where their drinking water come from the tap, where the fish come from, they'll say from hypermarket, supermarket. See, they don't see the importance of the natural resources. So they can't relate, why should I look into that? So for them, river tetare is okay.
You talked earlier also about how we've lost some sense of spiritual connection, you know, in KL. It's just very concrete. A lot of old parts of KL are fading out or they don't look the same as they used to. You're involved in the River of Life project, which has been identified as an entry point project or EPP in the Greater Kuala Lumpur Klang Valley National Key Economic Area under the ETP. Why do you think such great importance and attention was attached to this project?
I think one of the key things, because to set the direction for the city of KL, because we want to be in par with other cities in the world. If you look in the global, at a global level, all cities have rivers, no? So associate with the rivers, no? Okay? So now it's time for Malaysia also look into that. So now we want to put Klang River, because Klang River flow through the heart of the KL city. So as a part of the icon, okay, for Malaysia. So that's why it becomes so vital, and government are investing a lot on that, no, to revitalize the river, or Klang River.
What is a realistic level of cleanliness to expect from a city river? Because as you point out, many, you know, London, you think of the Thames, in Paris, you think of the Seine, but I don't think these are rivers people want to swim in. You know, they're rivers that are very famous, but nobody thinks of them in the traditional way of rivers. Nobody's canoeing down them every weekend. Yes. What's reasonable for a city river?
I mean, if you see the city river, I think basically one, to be icon for the people. People can relate. Okay, that's number one. Number two, it become a place for recreational. So currently when you say recreational, water recreational, people thinking about theme park. Okay, not the river and so on. So now for this, like for example, you go to Korea, Changi Chon. So it's not people swimming in the river, but people enjoy the thing. So once you relate to the river, so you can play your role indirectly. That's how our minds works now. When we care, when we know how important that, so it will reflect our daily habit, action, and on day to day.
So even as even something as simple as being able to enjoy a walk next to the river.
Yes. That's right. No. Okay.
This program that we're talking about, the River of Life Project, it aims to transform specific areas within Kuala Lumpur facing the Klang River into a vibrant waterfront with high economic and commercial value. What is your role in the project?
I think under the River of Life, championed by Pemandu through DID and DBK and so on, there is in total 13 initiatives. Okay, under the project there. No? So initiative number 12B is about public engagement. So GEC being the NGO who championing on the river course in Malaysia for the last 20 years, so we've been engaged by DID to support them on the public engagement.
Okay. Which areas or rivers fall within this program's purview?
I mean, you see, under the River of Life, there's three pillars. One is cleaning, river cleaning, and the other one is beautification and development. So under the cleaning, in total, 110 kilometres have been selected into that, which involve 8 rivers, Klang River, Gombak River, Batu River, Ampang, Jinjang, Krayon, Kero, and Bunos. These are the sub-tributary of the Klang River that involve in this particular project.
I'm speaking today with Dr. K. Kalithasan, coordinator of the River Care Program at the Global Environment Center. We're talking about the River of Life program. Up next, we find out who are the target groups, who are the people who need to start getting involved in this project in order to revitalize the river. You are listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me, Dr. K. Kalithasan, the coordinator of the River Care Program at the Global Environment Center. We're talking about the River of Life Program, the River Care Program, and we've kind of established why the Klang River is so important to revitalize. I think any of us who's seen it understand that, you know, we need to do something.
Yes.
And I read that the main objective of River of Life's public outreach project is to generate evidential improvement in attitudes and behaviours of target groups within the project area towards this preservation. Who are the target groups?
I think, as you mentioned, that the main objective to improve. But before we even engage community, our key objective here to improve the water quality from whatever class now, class 4, 5, to class 2B. And why class 2B? Because that's where the minimum water quality for the body contact, you know, to have the body contact. No? Okay, who are the our target group? In a River of Life public outreach program, the first one is local communities, whoever live within 500 meters of the Klang River and the tributary. The other one is the general public, okay, whoever live within the basin of that. And then the schools, learning institution, and then business community, as well as the developers and the workshop and so on. So it's a wide range of the target group that we are focusing.
And how do you go about working on changing mindsets when people have, you know, had very long-held mindsets about this river and about rivers in general?
I think this is the our biggest challenge then. No? So when I was in Denmark to learn about that, that was 15 years ago. See, I've been shared with the, I met the founder of the river project there. They said that it took them 60 years to change the mindset. So we need to be very realistic here. No? So that's why we adopted a concept called civic science. No? It was in our syllabus previously, no? civic and science. There. But unfortunately, now people don't care that attitude anymore. So now we're reintroducing the civic science concept. That's number one. Number two is connectivity. We try to connect them to the river, either directly or indirectly.
What are some of the key river conservation activities that you undertake and that you'd like to tell us about?
I think the whole umbrella of that we call river care. You know? Of course, we don't never use the integrated terms and so on. So it's a river care. How you and I can care for that? Like if we care for our family, our care for family members. How, because river is a part of the river is a living entity. So as a living entity, how to care for that? Some of the activity that we can do is to highlight them the importance of the pollution mapping. Okay, how you map the pollution and know your river address, not only your house address, your river address. Okay, and then pollution managing at the source, waste to wealth concept, you know, how to make money from the waste, and then also river monitoring.
While we're talking about pollution, back in mid-January of this year, local resident Jeffrey Lim discovered a large number of dead fish along the Klang River while he was cycling near brickfields. And he later tried to trace the source of the dead fish and concluded that they had originated further upstream past Kampung Pao along the Gombak River. What can you tell us about this incident?
I think this kind of incident does happen from time to time. You know? It could be, of course, I don't have scientific evidence, you know, what it caused that, but it could be through to three reasons. Number one is what we call external factor, where some people maybe use some poison because that is a common thing to catch fish, you know, using poison and so on. The other one, due to as what generally addressed in a local newspaper and so on, is the pollution level, which is very high. And the third one is a nature cause, which sometimes, you know, when the dry season, the oxygen level will be very low. And that can cause also the fish die.
And when we say pollution, are we talking about upstream pollution?
Yeah, basically it's the pollution from upstream there. You know? So if you look at that, the place that they are talking about, which is Brickfield, the upstream, it could be from Sungai Gombak as well as from Klang River as well. So that could be any reason. It could be anything. Maybe from the industrial, from the sand mining, from residential, commercial effluents, untreated or partially treated that caused this incident.
How worrying are these dead fish to you? Because, I mean, I assume people eat and sell the fish that they catch along the Gombak and Klang rivers. Should they be stopping?
I think this is the common concern by GEC, you know, not only for this incident, for the last 10 to 15 years. You know. See, especially in urban area that people are fishing, I mean, I don't wonder me who. There's a lot of people are interested in fishing. But unfortunately, when we interviewed them, they say they most of the time they don't consume, but they sell to the so-called stalls, nearby stalls, things. You know. So our concern is whether the fish is safe, you know, because we worried not of what, but because of the heavy metals. You know. It could be toxicologists, poison due to the heavy metals and so on. So this is something very alarming. I think the relevant party have to seriously look into this aspect.
And would you say for the time being you'd rather people not eat fish that comes from the Klang River?
I'm not there to say that because I don't have scientific, but I will advise my family members, I will advise please don't.
Okay.
That will be my advice because I cannot for sure tell that because we don't have the proof, scientific proof.
Is the River of Life Project or the GEC looking into this issue?
Yeah, definitely this is one of the things that we always educate about people, no? That our urban water stretch is be dominated by alien fish. No? So the importance of the local fish to restore into our water body and also this illegal fishing and then the other aspect of the biodiversity of the Klang River.
Serdang MP Ong Kian Ming released a media statement calling upon the Department of Environment to investigate the cause of the incident, and he also said that if there are no efforts to monitor the level of pollution in the Gombak and Klang rivers, the estimated 3.4 billion ringgit that will be spent to clean it up will be wasted. Do you agree with this?
I mean, monitoring is a must, huh? As he what he pointed out, the MP. But I, from my understanding, DOE and also DID do monitor the thing. They have a few stations along Klang River and Gombak River. But I think what is needed in future is the coordination, you know, on ground with the on ground finding. So whether monitored, yes, it's being monitored by at least two agencies.
Overall, how essential is the steady flow of clean, fresh water for ecosystems and the health and survival of people?
I think this is the biggest or the most important thing on the river care program then, to paint the right picture of river in people's mind. See, those days, you know, when people say Klang River, when I interview people who live there more than 80 years, 60 years, they say the river was so clean, vibrant, living. But when we interview now, it's all full of rubbish, living with the rubbish and so on. So we have to have this flow right, correct the wrong one, so that we paint the right picture on the people's mind. No more tetare. A river means must be crystal clear and so on.
Of course, we say this, but, you know, KL's population is increasing. You know, we have people moving in, we have people being born. What threats do the growth of human populations and the increased demand for water by industry and agriculture have on rivers in Malaysia?
I think for this is a classical example for Malaysia, you know, in terms of the water extraction from the river, 76% are for agriculture, followed by 13% for industrial, and the balance 11% for residential. So if you want to be smart on managing the river in the water in the river, and then we have to balance all these three sectors, the agriculture, industry, as well as the residential.
Earlier you talked about how the dry season might also have been a contributing factor to the dead fish. How does climate change impact water cycles?
I think this is what we call happening things, no? For young generation. The climate change is there, okay? In fact, COP21 in Paris clearly spell out detail of action plan. Definitely for Malaysia, we have impact on two aspects, quantity and quality, okay? Definitely we'll have a season where we have too much water that cause flood. And the other one is a dry season where we have less. And that is have an impact not only on the water quality, but also on the social life of people and health as well.
How can the community at large play a role in river management in Malaysia? We've talked quite a lot about how important it is that they get involved, how there are different activities. But when we talk about those target markets that you talked about, target audiences earlier, you know, the people who live, you know, close to the river, the people who live in Kuala Lumpur, how can we get involved?
I think everyone have to understand that, you know, in the river management, there's a two aspects there. No? One is we call top-down and bottom-up approach. The other one, hard approach and soft approach. Hard approach is championed by the government and agencies. But the soft approach is where communities role there. No? We have to manage our waste. We have to manage our pollution there. We call pollution at a source management. And they have to know they are the one of the key factor for the status of the river currently at Klang River now. So,
and what about the private sector?
I think for the last 10 years, you know, the government are doing a lot of things, but everyone knows, no, they have a limitation on that, on the financial as well on the resources and ideas also. So that's where the public public sector's role is vital. And I strongly urge that private sectors have to come forward to take the ownership of this river, especially Klang River as an icon of the KL city there. By few things, there's a few ways how they can engage. Number one, start their own initiative like JB Foundation with the water project. They started the project. Or some, they can support the ongoing of the government project. You know, there's a lot of projects. Third one is they look after their in-house green business operandi and mechanism. And finally, empower their staff, okay, about the role and what they can do.
So would you say then that this sort of integrated approach where everybody gets involved in their own capacities is the best approach, or should there be some sort of umbrella and everybody supports that?
I think I agree that we need umbrella activities. That's where the government come in. But for me, the key thing will be what our role within our niche, within our complexity. So if everyone can play their role, like for example, I always say that if everyone can look after their drain, river can look after itself. That's how the river, living river concept all about.
We have a message from a listener, Sly, who says we might need to educate people. For example, some rituals throw food and funeral remnants into the river. And I think that's an interesting point, because when we talk about how we want to relate, how we want people to relate to the river, some of the ways they relate might not actually be healthy. You know, they might have certain habits that really need to be changed.
Yeah. Okay, this is something that vital for Malaysia. No? In GEC, we are tackling this for the last 5 years. So let me address one issue. One of the Kinta River, huh? We are doing that. No? So, but sometimes it becomes very sensitive. So our approach is very simple. How can we balance their rituals and culture activities with the need of the environment conservation there? So we are always put forward idea of designated location within the rivers where it can be treated. Or designated pond for them to release the fish, you know, or any other living thing there. So we need to come up with holistic approach to give them freedom to practice their belief, because it's their belief, but at the same time, do little harm to the environment, because all religious say good thing about environment, to look after the thing, guardian of the nature and so on. So I think if we can explain to the public about how to balance it, I believe, in fact, it's already happened in so many parts of the Malaysia, people really do change, you know, they adjust their belief and their practices.
So you'd say then that in the 10 to 15 years that you've been doing this work, that you've seen an improvement in our attitudes?
Yes. That's the motivation for me, why I keep continuing doing this. You can see that there's a lot of positive changes, not only from the public, but also within some politician. We can see that the green movement, I'm talking green here is environment, a pro-environment movement is already happening at the politician level, at the corporate level, as well as the public, and of course the government. So that's the positive things happening. And it's good, even though it's slow, but still happening.
I've been told that GEC has launched a National River Care Fund for the community. Can you elaborate on that?
Okay, I think one of the biggest challenges for the community, you know, there's a lot of people, as your earlier question, whether people are interested, they do. They want to do a lot of things, but unfortunately, they don't have resources. You know. And at the moment now, there's no proper platform or less platform where they can apply for the grant. So that's why GEC, with the support of DID and few other players there, we set up what we call National River Care Fund, where it meant for local community schools, you know, to apply a small ceiling grant so that they can practice or do carry out their activity within their niche and with it to solve their localized issues and problems.
Finally, if we've been, you know, if you've been listening to this interview and you are tired of looking at the Klang River as it is and you want it to be a proper river, how can we get involved in the River of Life project?
I think there's so many channels there. Then we can visit the one of the websites set up by government and also GEC, that www.myrole.my, where there's a column where, you know, how you can participate, be the volunteers, be the eyes and ears for us. We also have a program called Citizen Eye, how you can be eyes, take photos of the pollution and so on. So it's all IT based, no? So if you can visit the website, it's clearly instruction there how you can play your role as eyes and ears for the government, for the private sectors, for the public, and also for yourself.
Again, that website for more information on the River of Life, you can visit MyRoll, that's MYROL.my. For more information on the Global Environment Centre, you can visit GEC.org.my. Thank you very much for coming in today, Dr. Kali.
Sure, thank you for having me here.
I've been speaking with Dr. K. Kalithasan, the coordinator of the River Care Programme at the Global Environment Centre, and we've been discussing the River of Life programme and the importance of rivers here in Malaysia and in our capital city. You've been listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.